Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
On April 26, news broke that anti-Christian activist Mickey Weinstein met with senior Air Force officials to discuss quote-unquote religious issues in the military. The Washington Post led others in the media to ask for an explanation of what assurances, if any, were offered in the meeting. The Pentagon responded with several confusing statements over the course of that week. But these statements only raise more questions about what was included in this ban, quote-unquote ban on proselytization, which one of the statements said was in place. Now, we have to ask ourselves, who is Mickey Weinstein? He actually is a U.S. Air Force Academy graduate. Maybe that's why he's specifically targeting the Air Force. And he now heads up the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which is anything but. He's had several instances, like back in 2006, he sued the Air Force in federal court claiming evangelicals are allowed to push their faith on others at the academy. And he has a very long history of attacking religion. My guest today is retired Colonel Ron Cruz. He is executive director for the Chaplain Alliance. Thanks, Colonel, for taking time to be with us.
Thank you for having me today.
You know, as we read about this, it seems like this organization popped up about the same time that the Freedom from Religion Foundation popped up. It's probably just coincidental, but it's not a good thing to have someone like Mickey Weinstein target the military, or target anyone as far as that goes. But why is it especially dangerous, in your view, to have the military targeted to become anti-Christian, anti-Christian, that's the main emphasis?
We've been following Mr. Weinstein's activities, particularly with the Air Force, for a number of years. He has had multiple meetings with senior leaders of the Air Force that we know of, but this one in particular that received some publicity comes on the heels of the Air Force announcing that they were going to revise their policy having to do with religious tolerance. And Mr. Weinstein, in his public statement, said that he thought that chaplains who share their faith should be court-martialed, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Chaplains who come from evangelical backgrounds have every right to obey the mandate mm-hmm. of their faith, which is to share their faith.
Right.
Now, we don't coerce people. We don't beat them over the head, but willingly and joyfully share the good news of the hope that's within us with those we come in contact with.
Right. I think it's called the Great Commission.
Absolutely.
It's our mandate.
Yeah,
absolutely. And when we look at George Washington, I mean, when he was the commander of the Continental Army, he issued a general order saying, basically, if you're not on duty on a Sunday morning, you're expected to be in religious services, which would have been Christian services.
Absolutely, and it was George Washington who petitioned the Continental Congress to establish the Chaplain Corps so that the soldiers in the Continental Army could worship on Sundays. And it is because of General Washington's efforts that the Chaplain Corps was established July 29, 1775, and chaplains have been serving with our armed forces in every war, every conflict, ever since 1775. They've been there where our military people go in order to allow our military people to exercise their religious
mm-hmm.
liberties.
Yeah, actually, we have a son who is a chaplain's assistant
mm-hmm.
in the Navy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we see, I believe there's a correlation between the attacks on the chaplaincy as well as the attacks on the Christian beliefs of the military.
Yes,
and I think there's a correlation between that and suicide rate.
Well, there is concern about mm-hmm. the suicide rate in the military. It's been increasing over the last several years, and it is chaplains who have been called on to provide training to help soldiers become aware of signals and signs of looking out for their buddies who may be considering suicide, and it is chaplains who are there to provide counsel and ministry to soldiers who are going through difficult times. Our chaplains have served this nation faithfully and
Absolutely.
Honorably throughout our nation's history, and we are concerned about this attack now
mm-hmm.
on our ability for our chaplains to continue to to serve in good faith and in a full heart to share the good news that they have within them.
Yeah, and that is the real danger, is Mr. Weinstein's attack goes beyond, I'm sure he understands the ripple effects of attacking the United States Air Force, you know, starting with the Academy, when he was concerned, quote-unquote concerned, back in 2011 when they sent out an email. It was between cadets, but it was asking for support for Samaritan's Purse.
Correct.
Of course, their Operation Christmas Child, and within 24 yep. hours, the Air Force sent an apology. And again, that's just... Yeah, he was just getting his feet wet at that point. But then this most recent meeting he actually had that meeting with the Pentagon, right? It wasn't just with the Air Force in that case.
It was with senior Air Force leaders in the Pentagon.
Oh, okay.
And he met with the senior attorney, the JAG officer, the senior Air Force JAG, and the deputy chief of chaplains. And I think there was another general officer present. And so he was pressing that the Air Force revise its policy and even consider court-martialing chaplains who share their faith.
Because he views it as being security risk. That's kind of the way that he's viewing this whole thing with Christians sharing their faith.
Well, the thing is, he has, in his organization and other organizations like his, have challenged the military for allowing crosses to be on chapels.
Mm-hmm.
They've challenged chaplains for being able to do Christmas observances on military installations. There's just a host of attacks right now, and we're concerned, and the American people need to be concerned.
Absolutely.
They need to be contacting their elected representatives to say, we want our chaplains to be able to serve and to live out their faith and help our military people to live out their faith.
Yeah, and that is key. So he's even taken steps to stop chaplains from holding Christmas services.
Well,
in the name of Christ.
Yeah, and taking away Christmas decorations and a creche, you know, at Christmas time on military installations. They filed some suits against that.
And were they successful in those?
Well, some installations refused to back down
mm-hmm.
and have continued to allow them, and it's an installation-by-installation
okay.
process. But they've been very aggressive each year, getting more aggressive at coming out of anything that connotes faith,
mm-hmm.
that speaks of faith in the public arena. And we're concerned about that, and we want our chaplains to not have their hands tied.
Absolutely. They need to have the freedom to do what they were called to do.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm looking at, you know, the aggressiveness of Weinstein's organization and the aggressiveness of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They're both very aggressive organizations, and
mm-hmm.
it's, of course, his primary target is the military.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, the Air Force, I think, again, because he's an Air Force veteran. But that will have
right.
ripple effects through all the other...
It will,
yeah.
And that's what happened with this latest scenario when he met with these senior Air Force officials and then went public with that meeting
mm-hmm.
and told the public what he was doing.
Yeah.
Then that raised the alarm of other military branches, our Army and Navy, as to what they were going to do and the stance that they have taken to keep religious liberty
right.
alive in our military.
Yeah. And the first statement that was issued after this meeting was, quote, religious proselytization is not permitted within the Department of Defense. And if any chaplains or service members had, they were asked, if any chaplains or service members had been prosecuted for such an offense, the response was, quote, court martials and non-judicial punishments are decided on a case-by-case basis, and it would be inappropriate to speculate on the outcome of specific cases, unquote. So they weren't specific. They didn't address that, and that caused even more concern within
yep.
the Christian community because the Department of Defense was not being forthcoming as to what took place in that meeting. And with that statement, religious proselytization is not permitted, that was very concerning, needless to say.
Yes, absolutely. And then the Defense Department clarified yet again. That
yeah.
I think they've issued
three
different versions
right.
to try to calm this down
mm-hmm.
and to say that chaplains can share their
right.
faith. However, they've continued to use the term proselytizing
mm-hmm.
as something bad. Sharing yeah. faith is okay, but the reality is that term, if you look at it in a dictionary, it's very close to evangelizing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we don't condone coercion or
right.
beating somebody over the head. Or if someone is offended and says, don't talk to me about that, then
and
we're not wanting
exactly.
to engage in that arena. But We want chaplains to be free
right.
to share the gospel on the battlefield with soldiers who are going into life-threatening situations, and to share hope, and to share that there is hope for life beyond death, and there is
mm-hmm.
meaning in life, and that all of those things that are of value to us who come from a biblical worldview, we want our chaplains to be able to continue to minister as they have been doing for the past 200-plus years.
Yeah. Now, are these attacks, kind of give us a timeline as to when, you know, not these most recent attacks, but mm-hmm. prior to that, when did the attacks begin to intensify? I mean, we're looking at, like you're saying, George Washington is the one who established the chaplaincy corps. And throughout history, now, is it because we as a nation are becoming more secularized that we see these attacks increasing? Kind of give us a timeline.
Well, there's a correlation, I believe,
mm-hmm.
between the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't
okay.
Tell policy
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
occurred in 2010
right.
and 11 that has now caused chaplains who come from evangelical backgrounds to be concerned about their ministry in the military.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that it's like those who come from evangelical backgrounds are now having to watch what they do
right.
and have to make it clear that when they counsel someone, they're counseling from a biblical background.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot do same-sex so-called wedding ceremonies. They cannot take same-sex couples on marriage retreats because that's a violation
right.
of their faith.
Absolutely.
And so all of these issues have been bubbling now for the last several years. And I mean, part of it became intensified when Congress passed last year the Defense Authorization mm-hmm. Act, and it included in there a statement that says that chaplains will not be prosecuted in any way for standing true to their faith. And then the president, who's the commander in chief, when he signed that bill, pointed to that section and said, "This is ill-advised and
mm-hmm.
unnecessary."
Yeah.
And so, again, that just raises concerns for chaplains who come from evangelical backgrounds. Do they have the support of our commander-in-chief right now
yeah,
to be able to serve in the way that they have been serving?
Okay, yeah. So what you pointed out is right on, because we see the effort from the top to devalue Christianity. And in the chaplaincy corps, that's a primary target. And President Obama has definitely been pushing secularization within the military and beyond. And with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that has increased the quandary. I guess that's the right word, quandary that the chaplains
yep.
find themselves in, because they have their biblical beliefs on marriage, on what marriage is, and on the sin of homosexuality.
Yeah.
And they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. I would not want to be in their boots having to make that decision. I mean, they have their career on the line, and of course, that's the way it is with anything. You've been in the military. I've never been in the military. But, you know, they have to be extra careful now that they have someone who is the commander-in-chief who does not have their back
yeah.
when it comes to this.
And that's what it feels like
yeah.
in some respects, and that's of concern. Now, we're continuing to tell our chaplains, stay the course. Continue to serve with grace and dignity everybody you come across. But they have to be careful these days
mm-hmm.
To be clear that they counsel and preach and teach from a biblical
yeah.
worldview.
Yeah, because they do have the First Amendment rights.
That doesn't
change. And
yep.
just the fact we have such a long history in this nation of chaplains being part of the military community. You know, we have that history, but unfortunately we have too many in this nation who are trying to rewrite history and write Christianity out of our nation's history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frightening to me to think that biblically believing chaplains will be forced out because we have an administration and folks in the Pentagon who do not understand our history and do not understand the importance of maintaining the chaplain's right to voice their Christian beliefs. So, you know, as we're looking at this, and have we gotten any kind of statement from Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel on this?
No, he was asked about some of these issues at a recent hearing before the House Armed Services Committee. And according to the press report, said that he was unaware of these events and would look into it. So I know that some members of Congress are writing letters to him and asking for some answers and some assurances that our chaplains are going to be able to continue to serve as they have in the past.
And has, well, of course, you know, you said last year the Defense Authorization Act included a statement protecting the chaplains, and hopefully that something like that can continue to be put in there, but hopefully we can get something even, you know, put in law. Of course, it is law, but...
It is law, but that statement is now federal law, and that is something that we can be grateful for, that we've got that, and our organization, Chaplain Alliance for Religious Liberty, we're wanting to begin an advertising campaign to notify military personnel what their religious liberties are.
Okay.
In this new environment, we're wanting to help them to understand that you still have First Amendment rights to worship God according to your faith and to practice your faith even while wearing the uniform.
Yeah, good. And this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but here in Pennsylvania, several weeks ago, there was, it was a Army Reserve training, and evangelical Christians and Catholics were all listed in the list of basically terrorist groups.
Extremist groups.
Extremist groups. The, okay, extremist groups that the reservists need to be aware of.
Yeah. Well, the part of the problem was that earlier on in that presentation, there was a slide that said Army military personnel are not allowed to do the following with groups identified as extremist groups, and they're not allowed to attend meetings, they're not allowed to give money, they're not allowed to distribute literature. And then several slides later, they have this list of extremist groups. And that means, according to that particular equal opportunity officer that presented that training, that soldiers in the reserves can't go to church, can't pay tithes, can't pass out Bibles, and that's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And the Army has disavowed that training, and we hope that that episode is now finished. But the problem is it should not have happened in the first place. And that training made several notes and references to the Southern Poverty Law Center as their source for information on hate groups and extremist groups. And you well know that in that Southern Poverty Law Center, the American Family Association is listed as a hate group. Family Research
FRC.
Council Focus on the Family is listed as a hate group.
And I think, I think Concerned Women for America has made that list now, too.
Yes, and so that's a very, very concern for us that, that the military has been using the Southern Poverty Law Center as a reference, and we're challenging that, and several members of Congress have now challenged the Department of Defense about their use of the Southern Poverty Law Center list, and we're hoping that that's going to stop.
Oh, good. And recently, West Point, actually the first part of this year, American Shire 4 Separation of Church and State claimed that the invocations at West Point are unconstitutional and that they coerce cadets to participate in and endorse religion.
Yes, and our organization sent a letter to the superintendent of West Point and gave a legal analysis as to why their prayers can continue. And we're grateful that the leadership at West Point did not bow to that pressure from that organization. They've continued to allow prayers there at West Point.
Good. So as you're saying, it's a matter of who the commanding officer is in any given installation.
That is correct. Okay. That's the way our military works, the commanding officers at military installation, and rightly so. They have authority to make decisions for their command. That's the way our military has operated through the years. But we're wanting the military leadership to know that our soldiers and airmen, sailors, Marines, have religious liberties, and these religious liberties continue, even in today's liberal political world.
Yeah, good. So what should we do? You mentioned a little bit earlier some of the action steps we should take, so could you reiterate some of those action steps that we need to take?
Yeah, well, number one, pray for our military people, that they will stand firm, for our chaplains who faithfully share the gospel day in and day out, and then to let your political leaders know that we want them to watch over their job is to watch over the Department of Defense to make sure that they implement the law. And that includes the right of conscience of our chaplains and military people to live out their faith.
Absolutely. So they need to contact Chuck Hagel, the Department of Defense,
sure,
the Secretary of Defense.
Absolutely. And they're members of Congress.
Okay. And congressmen, as well as our Senators Casey and Toomey in this, mm-hmm, in this case in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to contact our elected officials and know of our concern of these,
yep,
attempts to strip our chaplaincy,
yep,
of the First Amendment rights. And, yep, give us your contact information.
Our organization has a website, chaplainalliance.org, all one word, chaplain, chaplainalliance, chaplainalliance.org.
Okay, chaplainalliance.org. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate your group's efforts and your work to protect the chaplaincy and our military, because with all that they've gone through in the, you know, the different arenas of engagement when it comes to fighting, actually fighting, then they don't need this kind of fight when it comes to an attack on their religious liberties, and that's not something that they need. So I really appreciate,
yeah,
the Chaplain Alliance. So that's chaplainalliance.org. And,
yep,
again, keep up the good work, and we appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Okay, take
God
care.
Bless you.
God bless,
mm-hmm,
you, too.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.